Welcome to God Cares for You, a series of radio broadcasts featuring Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church based in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches the truth of the Word of God in a simple and understandable way that is easy to apply to your everyday life. Here's Pastor Rory Clark.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "But I, Paul, am afraid that just as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ." The simplicity of devotion to Christ. The purity of devotion to Christ. That expression has always had deep impact on me. I've always wondered what Paul meant by that, until I studied the book of Romans. Paul's letter to the Romans reveals the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, and that revelation starts with the gospel message, the good news concerning the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did for all mankind at the cross to provide for their so great salvation. In today's lesson, we'll get a dose of the Lord's simplicity and purity. Today's lesson is called Wrath or Righteousness, Your Choice. The first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, which is the sixth book of the New Testament, is addressed to the believers in Christ at first century Rome. In this letter, Paul provides the foundation for the Christian way of life. If you want to know God and you want to know what makes Christianity so special and so supernatural, you have to study Paul's letter to the Romans. The first chapter of the letter introduces the idea that God has good news for you. The gospel message is the good news, and it explains the sacrificial and unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood at the cross on behalf of all of his creatures, providing a way for them to be saved. Three verses capture the essence of the gospel message. First, Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and everyone in your household who also believes." Next, John chapter 14, verse 6. "The Lord Jesus Christ said to doubting Thomas, 'I am the way to salvation. I am the truth of the Word of God. I am the eternal life, the resurrection life, the Zoe life. And no one comes to God the Father but through believing in me.'" Finally, in John chapter 3, verse 36, the Lord Jesus Christ says, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the command to believe in the Son will not see eternal life, but instead the wrath of God, the Father, the lake of fire, abides on him." God the Son took on the form of true humanity to become the unique person of the universe, the Lord Jesus Christ. We call him Lord because he is 100% God. We call him Jesus Christ because he is 100% true humanity, 100% mankind, in other words. Here's what the Bible has to say about him in John chapter 1, verse 14. "And the Word," which is a reference to the Lord, God the Son, "became flesh," true humanity, as Jesus Christ, "and tabernacled among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the uniquely born one from God the Father, full of grace and full of truth." Now, in our last two radio programs, we studied the first two passages of Romans, Romans chapter 1, verses 1 to 7, and Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 15. And those lessons are available in the broadcast library of this radio station's website at www.1280kxeg.com. In this lesson, we'll study the third passage of Romans chapter 1. Not only three of the most important verses in this chapter, but also certainly the most simple, most pure, most important idea in all of divine history: the simplicity of the two choices offered by the gospel message, wrath or righteousness. Here's the passage, Romans chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. All right, so what's your choice? Wrath or righteousness? The Lord Jesus Christ's righteousness is manifest throughout the earth. Manifest means that his righteousness is clearly visible, both in the past and now and to the day of eternity. The Lord Jesus Christ offers all creatures, as long as they are breathing, this magnificent, priceless, free gift called righteousness, which is your admission ticket to heaven. For those who refuse the free gift, God offers his wrath. Thus the title of this lesson, Wrath or Righteousness, your choice. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16, initiates what many call the four fours passage. The number four and the word for, F-O-R, the four fours passage. Let's look at the passage in a little more detail. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, the first part. For I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel of God the Father. Paul is happy to proclaim the gospel message with boldness. He's never afraid to make people aware of their most desperate need, their need to be saved. In the second part of verse 16, the next four. For the gospel of God the Father is the power of the Father, being offered for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first chronologically, and also to the Greek, which is a reference to the Gentiles. Now, the power of God the Father is called omnipotence. He has all the power, especially the power to save any creature who requests salvation. There is no racial requirement to be saved. God the Father's salvation offer is open to everyone, both to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And if you're not Jewish, you're a Gentile. And everyone, whosoever, is eligible for salvation as long as they are still breathing. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, the third four. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God the Father is being revealed, from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for all things. As it is written, and it's a reference to the Old Testament, but the righteous man, any believer in Christ, shall live by faith. That is, by placing his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Now, one of the most significant gifts that we have received from God the Father is righteousness. God demands righteousness for relationship. And the righteousness revealed from God the Father, and that's the passive voice in the Greek language of the New Testament. You are receiving this from God. The righteousness revealed from God the Father is our only hope to be saved. You can't save yourself, and you can't earn salvation by working for it. In Romans chapter 3, verse 28, the Apostle Paul says, "For we maintain that a man is justified, that is, a man is pronounced as righteous by God on the basis of faith and apart from the works of the Mosaic law." In Romans chapter 11, verse 6, it says, "But if, for the sake of argument, salvation is by grace, salvation is no longer on the basis of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. If you have to work, then it's not a free gift." Now, you can't manufacture your own righteousness. As a pastor, I have to be careful teaching this simple and pure truth to religious people who often have a distorted view of God. They have been taught that God is a tyrant who is counting their sins against them, who loves them conditionally as long as they don't sin, and who is out to get them when they do sin. I believed that at one time. To those well-versed in biblical study, however, we know that this is not an accurate portrayal of our God. God loves us unconditionally, and he is not holding our sins against us. Psalm 103, verse 12 says this, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us." The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay for every sin you'd ever commit, past, present, and future. Now, even though God has forgiven our sins, all creatures have to know that God does not accept our human righteousness, our self-righteousness, our attempt to manufacture righteousness on our own by doing things that we think are impressive to God. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says this, "All of us have become like one who is unclean," and that's a reference to a woman who is menstruating. "And all our self-righteous deeds are like a filthy garment," which is a reference to menstrual rags. God hates self-righteousness. God hates sin. Self-righteousness and sin are as repugnant to God as menstrual rags are to human beings. God hates ungodliness. God hates unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men," and that's a reference to unbelievers specifically, "who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness." God the Father has wrath, and he exercises his wrath against unrighteousness, against ungodliness, and against sin. If God were okay with unrighteousness, ungodliness, and sin, he would not have said this through the Apostle John. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Here's what that verse really says. If we, as unbelievers, confess our sins, that is, if we completely agree with God concerning our sinfulness from physical birth, and maybe you will, maybe you won't, you have a choice. God the Father is faithful. He always does the same thing. And God the Father is righteous, free from sin himself, thus completely qualified to forgive us as unbelievers of our sins, and he is free to cleanse us as unbelievers from all unrighteousness. And how does he do that? He does it by imputing his own righteousness to us. Believers in Christ have no need to be cleansed from unrighteousness. Believers in Christ are righteous, and that cleansing happened for them already at the new birth, at the time that they were born again, at the time they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation through faith alone, at the moment when God the Father imputes his own righteousness to them. Now, God is not fond of unrighteousness. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men," a reference to unbelievers, "who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness." Now, Satan, the enemy of God, was the initiator of unrighteousness. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 12 says this, "Son of man, take up a lamentation over the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God." Now, son of man is a reference to Jesus Christ. "Thus says the Lord God." That's a reference to Jesus Christ. "You, Satan, had the seal of perfection. You were full of wisdom and you were perfect in beauty." Satan was created as a brilliant genius. Ezekiel 28:13, "You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering, the ruby, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the lapis lazuli, the turquoise, and the emerald, and the gold, the workmanship of your settings and sockets was in you. On the day that you were created, they were prepared." Satan was and still is gorgeous, and his outfit is full of bling. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 14, "You were the anointed cherub who covers." He was the bodyguard angel to the Lord Jesus Christ. "And I, the Lord Jesus Christ, placed you there in that position. You were on the holy mountain of God in the third heaven. You walked in the midst of the stones of fire," which means you had access to the throne room of heaven. Ezekiel 28, 15, "You, Satan, were blameless in your ways from the day you were created until unrighteousness was found in you." Ezekiel 28, 16, "By the abundance of your trade," which means the trafficking of slander, "you were internally filled with violence and you sinned. Therefore I, the Lord Jesus Christ, has cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I have destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire." Ezekiel 28, 17, "Your heart was lifted up in arrogance because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom by reason of your splendor. I, the Lord Jesus Christ, cast you to the ground. I put you before kings that they may see you." Ezekiel 28:18, by the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade. Again, a reference to the trafficking of slander. He was slandering the Lord Jesus Christ to all the angels and caused the fall of all the angels. So by the multitude of your iniquities, in the unrighteousness of your trade, you profaned your sanctuaries. Therefore, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have brought fire from the midst of you. It has consumed you, and I have turned you to ashes on the earth in the eyes of all who see you. Ezekiel 28:19. All who know you among the peoples are appalled at you. You have become terrified, and you will cease to be forever. The unrighteous ones will experience the wrath of God. The righteous ones who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith alone will receive the free gift of righteousness, of the righteousness revealed from God, and it's every creature's only hope to be saved. Well, here's a song from Barah Ministries song worship leader June Murphy on the subject of salvation. It's called Whosoever. Thank you, June. So here's a quick review of our passage. Romans 1:16, the first part. For I, Paul, am not ashamed of the gospel of God the Father. For the gospel of God the Father is the power of the Father being offered for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first chronologically, and also to the Greek, the Gentiles. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God the Father is being revealed, from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for all things. As it is written, but the righteous man, any believer in Christ, shall live by faith, by placing his confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and against all unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth of the gospel in unrighteousness. So what's your choice? Wrath or righteousness? The wrath of God is one thing we really don't want to hear about. It's the one thing that we really fear. We're terrified of experiencing the wrath of God. Well, what is wrath? Wrath is God the Father's response to each creature's rejection of his unconditional love. Wrath is God the Father's response to each creature's rejection of the person and the work of his sin substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. Wrath is God the Father's response to each creature's rejection of his instructions for how to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise of salvation, as some count slowness, that means as some accuse him of, but is patient toward you unbelievers, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to a repentance, a change of mind about Christ. If it is not God's will that any should perish, you have to conclude that the only way to experience the wrath of God is to reject a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, but that's too simple and pure, isn't it? A believer in the Lord Jesus Christ has absolutely no worries about God's wrath, except as it relates to those you love who are unbelievers, because believers are not subject to God's wrath. Romans chapter 8, verse 1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. God's wrath is aimed at spiritual death. God's wrath is aimed at sinners, a reference to unbelievers, even though God loves sinners unconditionally. God's wrath is aimed at sin, at ungodliness, at unrighteousness, and it is not aimed at believers in Christ. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God the Father demonstrates his own unconditional love toward us, that's all mankind, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, once you have salvation, once you have the righteousness that comes from a God who never changes anything he does, you cannot do anything to lose it. John chapter 10, verse 28, I, the Lord Jesus Christ, give eternal life to believers in Christ, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. But that's too pure and too simple, isn't it? Wrath or righteousness? What's your choice? Pick righteousness, and you will be saved. This radio broadcast is an invitation for you to worship with us, either as part of our resident congregation, where you come in person to worship with us every week, or as a member of our non-resident congregation who worship with us through the magic of radio and the magic of the internet. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we also invite you to support us with your spiritual gift, which is to be used to build up others in the body of Christ. Are you using your spiritual gift? And finally, we invite you to support us with your financial gifts. Everything provided by Barah Ministries is provided free of charge to the recipients, but it is not free of cost. So we hope that if you find this radio program to be valuable to your spiritual life, that you're motivated to contribute financial gifts that help us to continue to provide biblical resources to others who can't afford them. And if you're looking for a spiritual home, we hope you'll consider Barah Ministries.
You've been listening to Pastor Rory Clark of Barah Ministries, a worldwide Christian church in Mesa, Arizona. Pastor Rory teaches face-to-face lessons twice a week. For more information, especially on meeting locations, go to the Barah Ministries website at www.barahministries.com. That's www.barahministries.com. The God Cares For You radio broadcast can be heard every Sunday right here on 1280 KXCG, The Trumpet.